Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday, May 20th meeting of your Community Promotions Committee. I believe everyone is here today except Tracy Neal, so we do have a quorum and we can begin. And if there's somebody out there that wants to talk to us, you're welcome to talk.
Good morning, members of our Promotions Committee. My name is Jeff Eccles, and I am president of Morro Bay Fourth Incorporated. We are the newly formed nonprofit group in town that is responsible for hosting the 4th of July celebrations in Morro. We were formed right after the 4th of July last year. And I am here very pleased to report to you and our viewers at home that Morro Bay is the place to be for Independence Day celebrations this year, 2010. We are extremely excited and grateful to our community, our business members, our city for their support. We have met our initial funding goal, meaning that we are at a funding level at this point where fireworks will happen, the event will happen. It doesn't mean it's time to let up. We've still got some more money to make, but we have hit those minimum levels that we needed to hit. So it's good news all around for the city, and we are looking forward to a fantastic day. You are welcome to visit our website, Morro Bay, the numeral 4th, morrobayfourth.org. You'll find out plenty of information. With the headline band is Zongo All-Stars starting at 6:30. Kids activities, kids carnival booths, some good food booths. So really an exciting day there. And we'll have those formal opening ceremonies again at 1 o'clock. The bike parade, if you're a biker, starts at 12 noon at The Rock. So just wanted to come and announce that we're on track. Thank the community for stepping up to the plate and helping us meet that initial goal. And we will continue to work. We meet every Wednesday. We are always looking for volunteers. So if you want to volunteer, again, visit that website, www.morrobayfourth4.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. We have a new item on our agenda now. We're going to have public announcements. For those of you that have any announcements, do you have any announcements, Liz, Susan, Dan, Daniel, any announcements?
No.
Bill?
I do. I received a flyer from a company by the name of, Uncommon Journey Train Holidays, which is a group that I've taken several tours on. In fact, I talked to the owner in Memphis a few years ago, and by golly, this year he's going to have two tours, Chicago round-trip Chicago tours that will stop and spend the night in Morro Bay, which I was pleased to see. So I haven't nailed down as to which motel he's staying at, but that they're staying overnight before they go to Hearst Castle the next day. And then they'll come back and have lunch, and then they catch the train in San Luis Obispo in the afternoon.
And the tour is a train tour?
It's a train tour, yeah.
Great.
It's train and bus because they go to Yosemite, and they get off in Reno, and then they go to Yosemite and Lake Tahoe and over here.
Great. That's great.
So we do have somebody coming to town.
Wonderful.
I talked to the owner, he said, oh, yeah, we used to go to Morro Bay all the time on our tours. He said, I'll have to put in another one. So I don't know whether I did any good or not.
But. Excellent.
Well, I'm sure you'll be telling us about some more tours that are coming to town soon in your report.
Some other news I got this morning with the fishing industry is it looks like they're going to lift some of the restrictions on how deep we can fish, which translates into more fishing trips for sports fishing and more areas to fish, mm-hmm. and they may expand the season as well. So it should be a good draw for us this year for the fishing.
Good. Glad to
hear
that.
First good news we've gotten in years. So.
If there aren't any more announcements, I'll accept a motion to approve the minutes of last month's meeting. Everybody had a chance to look at them.
There's an error.
Okay.
A misspelled name. I believe there should be a Y in Daniel's name. K-R-A-Y-C-K.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill. Anything
other than that, I'm...
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nobody opposed, so we'll accept the minutes as with the correction. We're going to move on to our monthly reports now, and the first one is from Peter in the Visitor Center, including the website activity report.
Good. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The first, you have it at your handout, so the first one is listed. And then, of course, the second page is the visitor's report. And again, it breaks down with the number of phone calls in the course of the month of April, which is 983. Total visitors approaching 2,000. There are actually more and more coming in every day now. I think we're going to see a huge summer, and it will reflect back here when we get down to the fulfillments or requests for information. The promotion mailings, the tourist packs, down from last year, 47. And relocation packs, we had 15 last year in April, and we have one this time. And you can see the totals there, 48 for the month of from April. The fulfillments is always, to me, a delight to see each month now. They have increased up to sixfold. It obviously, what we're doing as a promotion here, what we're doing, you know, through the BID and John Sorgan Fry's advertising is working. We can take a look at our fulfillment or request for information, 1,521. From last year is 553. I mean, that's, to me, it's just amazing. Things are going to happen. I think we can maybe kind of look at the TOTs later on and, you know, get a feel for the increases there. There's some interesting spikes in that in those numbers that might be kind of fun to look at, too. So things are working. It's something that I would love to see maintained, not change anything. We do have you know, the budget hearings coming up, and it'd be, you know, worthwhile if you have something to say about the, you know, the fulfillments that are happening, how good the promotion and the BID's advertising, as you can see, they're actually working. It's always nice to have those compliments in a public forum. So if you like to do that, I would suggest doing it. It might be a good thing for us. And then the sources of the 800 numbers, as you can see, where they're coming from. It's difficult sometimes when you have maybe 7, 8, 9 people in and you have three lines holding to get, you know, the question out. You know, where did you get your information, or how did you get the 800 number? But we're doing much better with that, as Ed can contest to it. And then, of course, referrals, huge, you know, 3,600 different business referrals in the course of the month, which is absolutely fantastic. And that's, you know, that's one of the real positive things that happen at a visitor center when you're very active and you have a lot of people coming in, you have a chance to refer a lot of businesses. Any questions about any of this? And there's a couple of things that I want to bring up. Tonight is the chamber mixer. It is at the Seaside Real Estate and Property Management. That's 817 Morro Bay Boulevard, actually right across the street from the police department. It's a great opportunity to network, meet some folks, get to know them, get a little know about their business. Very strong real estate company in town. It'd be a fun thing to do. Great. What I'd like to do is we're going to invite, of course, all of the board from the promotions as well as the BID and the council, the mayor, and as many dignitaries as we can to experience what the tour is like, and you know, get some feedback from all of those folks too. So it should be a lot of fun to really be part of this. We have a commitment from Amtrak 2011. To bring 12, they are north to southbound. It's a train that's going to stop in Paso. They're going to do their thing in Paso, go to Hearst Castle, then come through Morro Bay, do the oyster tour, have lunch. And they're going to, as I understand, they're going to be here for about 4 to 6 hours. It depends on how soon they get in. So that gives us an opportunity to maybe, because the tour takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours, probably closer to 2 hours with the lunch and the barbecued oysters that are part of this. So we have them for a couple hours more, and we were input about what we should do for those 2 hours, all kinds of possibilities. Certainly they can do the kayaking. Certainly they can do a walk. Maybe we'll do a shopping walk or a tour. Maybe we'll get some buses to bring them uptown and North Morro Bay. What, you know, whatever we can work out with that, we have the opportunity. This will commence in 2011. The second one, I got a call yesterday. They just heard it through the industry. Now, remember, we really haven't advertised this strongly yet. We're waiting until we get final approval on some of these things. But it came from Main Street Tours, if you know who that company is. It's a very large touring bus company interested in coming into Morro Bay to experience the Oyster Tour. And I think it has a lot to do with the trip that we had made to the NTA, National Touring Association, last year, last November, and where we had an opportunity to really hook up to the busing companies. And there are nine that are very interested in coming into Morro Bay because we have a scheduled tour. So that means that it opens things up for things like the Avocado Tour, where we can go into Cal Poly, we can go into our ranches here and bring them into Morro Bay. We have the passion fruit here. We have the horn melons. We have so many different types of varieties of fruit and vegetables that there are a lot of people who are interested in coming and seeing what we're doing here. So a lot of good things happening, and we're, you know, we just need to keep it up.
Thank you, Peter. Anything else? Okay, we're going to move on to the budget report. Andrea, you had some information you wanted to leave us or talk to us about with the TOT figures.
I do. If we can plot the TOT numbers on the – just a couple of things I want to bring up, just so everyone's up to date on this. And as I said earlier, we will be scanning this and sending it to you with your packets in the future, so you'll have a little bit of time to look at it. So up on the overhead are the numbers from 09-10, and I wanted to talk a little bit about just comparison. If we look at March of 10, we have 923,000 that we brought in, and if we compare that back to March of last year, we're up slightly because March of last year was 902. We do have one hotel that is making payments to us, and that fund currently 150 vacation rentals registered with the city of Morro Bay. We're actively making sure that if we see advertisements on Craigslist, or if people come into the office and indicate they think they're living next to a vacation rental, we're contacting those houses and making sure that those get registered as vacation rentals. So I wanted to bring that up. I thought it was just kind of an interesting. We haven't had any good news for quite some time on the TOT. So whenever we get a little blip, I think it's important to take a look at that.
Is there? You say we have 150 rentals. Is there a way of finding out how that occupancy rate is? Is there a way to determine that?
I think the answer is yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I mean, obviously, there's huge.
It's interesting.
Huge increase.
We're looking at. Some rentals are represented by their individual owners, and then some rentals are represented through agencies. So I think the T-bid, I'm guessing, is probably going to be having a discussion in the near future about the inclusion of vacation rentals within the T-bid. I see that happening probably sooner than later. And when that happens, I'm thinking that probably we can get some report. We may currently have it, and I'll check on that, but I'm not sure.
Do you have a way of also finding out how many vacation rentals you were reporting on 1 year ago, like we do with the room occupancy? You show the number of rooms each month for that TOT tax. Now, some of this increase might be because of your diligence and now looking more carefully at the vacation rentals than last year. So maybe it's an enforcement is doing it, yeah.
I'm sure that we do, and I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, that might be an interesting thing to see.
Ed, if I could just make one further comment.
Sure.
I think that one of the things when you have a more challenged economy, you tend to see vacation rentals go up. I know this is true in Pismo Beach as well. People tend to want to have a kitchen where they can cook their meals, and you know, it becomes a little more affordable for family travels.
Right, some of it might be dollars that would have been spent in the motel, and the motels or hotels are now transferring to the vacation rentals. That's a good point, John. Thank you. Any other questions on the TOT tax? Okay, John, you're up with the agency report.
Okay, thank you. While we're on the subject of the budget, I'll just go ahead and pass out an updated sheet on that. And as you'll see when this comes around, is that we're pretty much coming to the end of our budget for this particular fiscal year, which is what we always do. We cannot roll over the money, unlike the BID, so we want to make sure that the dollars are expended. And we still have some. This really kind of gives you a picture, even though this is as of mid-April, it's projected out to through June. So we pretty much expended all the dollars. We have some left for public relations and web maintenance, but the variety of all of the print and all of those things that we've done and broadcast, all the online material has all been booked. And that's not to say that we don't have anything running in May and June. We actually do, but it's expended. And so that gives you a pretty good picture of that. I wanted to talk a little bit about the website and give you some stats on that. I did email out, as we've been doing, to have you all have a couple of days to review the material and also to save some paper, because it gets to be, with our new reporting that we're doing with the stats, it gets to be quite a bit of volume. But we've had some really exciting news at Sunset, one of the ones that we're advertising on, and then direct traffic is people who are actually typing in moralbay.org that might have seen an ad. One of the things that's really encouraging is if you look at the latimes.com, it continues to be our top referring site, but we went from 384 to almost 1,900 in April, and we have a brand new campaign that's hit the LA Times, and I think that's the result of that. And then if you go down and you look at gameslatimes.com, we had over 757, so that could be thrown back into that. And that games page is value added, and it really is a games page. It's where you go and play crossword puzzles and have all these different things. So obviously it's a page that people go to and they see our ad and click through it. It's also encouraging that the county site, we were kind of concerned about how many hits we were getting from or referrals we were getting from sanluisobispocounty.com. And that's increased substantially. It went from 36, 66, 80, and then all of a sudden in April we had 423. So that's encouraging. And we actually worked with the county in trying to get that optimized and figure out why we weren't getting as much. And they've been working with us to make sure we had the right placement and the right URL and all that to make sure that happened. So I think we're seeing that our advertising, as Peter said, that we've gone over the years from less 800 numbers and more inquiries on the website, which is pretty standard across the board. All of our marketing is really directed toward that. So I think one of the spikes, too, in the LA Times is we sent out an email newsletter, and that tends to do that as well. Also, I can tell you that I'm really encouraged by our database. We have over 9,000 in our database now, and that's attributed also to taking some of the emails from people who have inquired from the visitor center. But we made a real effort to try to to increase that list, and now we've really got a pretty substantial list of people who want to get our emails. And I'm working with Rick Turton, who works for my company, and getting some stats on exactly on those when we do those emails blasts, how many people are opening them and going through that. So I'll probably have that for you next meeting, because I think that list is getting to be pretty significant. And as we, have budgeting challenges, I think that's one area where we can, hit those people pretty affordably. And what I'd like, and that includes the BID, what we'd like to do is start sending out, packages and things like that to encourage people. I think if we had a little more call to action on those emails with an offer, I think we would see it become much more successful.
Excuse me, John. quick question. Could you talk just briefly about the nature of what was in the email and the type of content that's in the LA Times? Because, that's a pretty significant jump. I think it's
right.
Great. And, certainly I'm not sure about everybody else, but I would like to know, what we did or what was the content that made that such a successful.
Was there a contest or something?
We have been running a contest all along, because I think that's one reason why we saw a spike. So we're doing, enter to win, go to our site and enter to win the ultimate getaway. That has been continuing. I really think it's in part that we spent a little more money and also that we were able to just kind of get some better about that and get some postings that are pretty regular. And also work on encouraging more fans. And I'd really like to see that list go up. And I think one way to do that would be to, on our email, take an email blast and just encourage those 9,000 people we have to join Facebook. And I think we could really increase our Facebook fan attendance quite a bit. But to answer your question, Daniel, I think that part of it is that we're coming into the season. And also I think the events that Peter's been putting on, people were intrigued by those. The Kite Festival has been phenomenal. I think a lot of those people came as a result of the Kite Festival because the Kite Festival was on the newsletter. So I think it's a combination of spreading the information out on the latimes.com and offering a contest and then having events that people want to hear about.
Just out of curiosity on the LA Times, do they let us do like multiple placements, meaning like more unique ads in different places throughout their site?
Yeah, we've been doing that. And, you know, we use the traditional banner ads, but we go beyond that with like pull down ads. So if you come onto the site, the ad expands, creates attention. We also are on a variety of not just the travel page, but the main news page, the games page, and really kind of spreading out the reach. And I think that's another. We're also sponsor a travel blog, and that travel blog has been really effective too.
Any other questions for John?
I have a question. On the referring websites, we list the Mercury News.
Yes.
Was that the free ad that we got or something?
No, actually, I meant to mention that. We, through the BID, we did a San Jose Mercury News online campaign, which just started about a week ago. Right, so hopefully we'll see some good return on that. And that's kind of a carbon copy of what we've been doing with the LA Times, just in the San Jose paper.
Okay.
Because I'm sorry.
And on the newsletter signups, you've got newsletters from views. What does that mean? Is that people that have viewed the newsletter, or because you can't view the newsletter online?
And which one's this?
On this, well, it ended up being second page. On this
oh, okay.
It's on the back side of that. Yeah.
On the back side, yeah, where it says newsletter signups, and you've got a number, and then it says newsletters from views, 2058.
I would imagine that that's how many people looked at the newsletter that we sent out.
Out of the 9,000 people newsletters that
that's
we sent
actually
out,
a
only
pretty
2,000.
Good, that's actually a pretty good return.
And when did we send out the newsletter?
That was sent out prior to the Kite Festival.
Hmm. I didn't get one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you need to sign up.
I have. Okay.
Well, we'll check that out. We'll make sure you get one.
Bill, there's an ongoing challenge with email promotions where some of them do go directly into your junk mail. So
yeah, that could be a result too.
Which can also explain why out of 8 or 9,000, you know, there might only be 2,000 views. So I mean, yeah, it is good.
And we would expect that because these people have theoretically said, you know, send me information. So to give you an idea, like in the LA Times, we might send out 40,000. And
but John. Thanks, John.
I still had some things
to give
you.
Some more, okay.
Well, I'll transition to my ad report.
Okay.
I want to tell you that we have Jackrabbit up now, finally. And as you all recall, that's something that the BID is financing. And it's a searchable reservation program. I will tell you it's been a challenge getting the database properly set and some of the other things. I won't go into all the details, but we finally do have it up. And I think this will help increase our overnight stays. It's providing people with an opportunity when they go on there to find out what hotels are available for the dates. You're all probably familiar with it. I'm sure you've all used those.
That appears on every page, John.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's underway now. And I wanted to report to you, I had some information on Sunset and the Sunset Saver program, of course, which Morro Bay is participating in. They went live on their site, I believe, about a week and a half ago, and they've sold $48,000 worth of tickets. And they think that's pretty significant. And also there was a report that they originally were looking for about $150,000 in sponsorships, and they have over $400,000. So I think it's going to be an incredible event, and I will tell you that Morro Bay cut a really good deal with them. There's a lot of value added. As you know, Morro Bay is going to be sharing the booth with the unincorporated county BID, and we're going to be able to take advantage of various other things that are related to the unincorporated group. So I think that it's going to be a great event. And as you all know, that the event's coming up in Palo Alto, which is sort of a carbon copy of that, only a northern version. And that's going to be taking place the 1st of June. Also, I wanted to pass these around. As you all know, Karen and maybe Nancy, if you wouldn't mind putting these up. I'll do it. Thanks. Carol and or Karen and Harold Biagini went to on a cruise, and one of their points of entry was the Rock of Gibraltar. So we set up an opportunity for them to meet the mayor and give them a packet of information on Morro Bay, also requesting our what they call twinning, not sister city, but twinning program. And it's kind of interesting because as we went through this, we found out that the mayor's position is pretty much more of an honorary position, and it's really the town council that comes up with the approval process. And I think I've shared with you before, it's very British, very detailed, very sophisticated. But they were greeted by the mayor and had a short meeting, and it went very well. They're very excited to hear about Morro Bay, and I think that at the very least we have enough, even if it doesn't officially go through, that you know, we can talk about our efforts to have a sister program with the Rock of Gibraltar. And I think that this will be a great, you know, publicity for us. As you may recall, Rock of Gibraltar gets about 8 million visits a year. So anything that we could do to go on their coach strings would be very similar. So, and then the other thing that I'll just mention on the BID, they're going to be talking today also about some fulfillment, and Peter's been involved in this a little bit, about maybe doing some sort of guide as well. So I've got some samples to show them, and we'll be working with Peter on that, and Peter will be obviously at that meeting too. But there's been some discussion, and I know we've talked about a guide too. So as we get further along, there might be some cohesion that this committee could, you know, share in some of that with the BID group as well. But it's still really preliminary. And I know Peter's working on an RFP too for some other groups that might put that together too. And that's pretty much all I had.
Okay. Any other questions for John? Thank you very much, John. Moving on to our subcommittee reports, the website subcommittee did meet. We elected a very professional new chairman, who's Daniel, who will give the report.
Okay, thank you. So myself, Bill, and Ed met, and we reviewed some of the things that had been in discussion in, you know, recent past meetings. More importantly, we talked about the flash video on the homepage. I'll just give you a quick overview of what we discussed, and then come back and mention some of the things that we would like to give attention, you know, going forward. So we discussed the flash video on the homepage, some updates to the calendar page, and then a couple of things I noticed in reviewing this morning have already been taken care of. And again, these were in part discussions from previous meetings. The flash panel or the slider that was on the homepage, that has been made more static on the homepage. And then we also talked about, which seemed to be, at least when we met 2 weeks ago, not quite in a format that we thought was appropriate, or not appropriate, but just as clear as it could be, but it looks like that's been changed as well, and that is the chamber calendar. Looks like that's been revised a bit. So one of the things that we discussed was the importance of making clear distinctions between the general calendar, which, you know, folks would be visiting for local events and things like that versus the chamber calendar, and just making sure that there's clear distinctions. And it looks like that's now been nested under the link on the far right, which is all chamber-specific items. And then we also talked about the getaway and then updating the visitor hours for the visitor center, which I didn't get a chance to check that this
morning.
It didn't
show the Sunday opening on Sunday on the webpage.
It was changed yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one thing I didn't get a chance to review this morning. But so to go back just a little bit more specifically on a couple of the items, in conjunction with the flash video on the homepage, we had talked about the possibility of having the site audited. And I did a brief audit on the site, which, a couple things preventative of for some folks who don't either have the flash player or don't have a newer computer, basically, because it can be very top-heavy, slows the page down, and then in some cases it'll also hurt search engine rankings to have a large flash animation on the homepage. So that was one thing that we talked about, looking at other options or alternatives to that. As far as the calendar update, we found that there still is not, and this is something that some folks feel is important, having the ability to show a full 12 month in advance. I know that right now it's kind of in a declining situation, so that as a month passes, it drops off. But some folks feel it was important to have a full 12 months so they could look ahead and see what is actually coming up on an annual basis for Morro Bay. And then, of course, a couple of minor things regarding the calendar is making sure that we have full descriptions and a link. And concurrent with that, we discussed the possibility of having a form developed so that folks who need to submit an event have to provide specific information that's going to guarantee that all criteria is met before it gets posted. So that's something we'd also like to talk about in the future, is just having that form developed.
Okay.
And that way it will guarantee that if somebody feels they have an event that's newsworthy and, fits into the criteria of what MorroBay.org is promoting, not like everybody's spaghetti dinner and things like that, but the more important ones that are attracting, at least from our perspective, the promotions committee, attracting visitors and potentially overnight stays to Morro Bay. Those are the things that we feel should have a specific form that gets filled out. And like any other form on the internet, if a certain criteria isn't placed on the form, it just doesn't go. So until somebody has all their ducks in a row and can provide that information, it won't even go into the queue to get published. And not to say that it would be published immediately, but that it would just go into a holding place for somebody like, Peter or Rick Carr or yourself or your staff, to review that and see if it's something that's, newsworthy and fits into, our criteria. Okay. And then last but not least, and again, I didn't get a chance to look at this morning, but this is something that we found both from pretty much everybody was in agreement on this, that the getaway, any of the promotions for a contest or a giveaway needs to meet certain state criteria. And one of those criteria is that there would be some very specific terms and conditions or rules associated with it. So I know from my experience that any looked at as soon as possible.
Our contest is ongoing, and the prizes, we've purposely left it fairly open because we've been struggling to get, the types of prizes. So it's fairly vague because we really don't know the exact hotel or or what's going to happen.
Do we have some general rules, though? You must be 18 years of age or older. Contest would be drawn monthly on the last day of the month.
Yeah, we can add those.
Just a right. basis, so we legally don't get any problem.
Sure. Regarding the flash, I think that that is a problem that I've been kind of wrestling with. We tried to take the we had so much going on that homepage with the events going across. We made that static and hoping that that would help because it's a really heavy file. So I think that what we're going to do is we've had this run for a while. We want to keep freshening it up anyway. So I think on our next phase of what we're going to do, and I'm going to be talking with the BID about this because, frankly, this committee's out of money to do that. But what I would suggest to them is we probably take that video so it's not wasted, probably make it into a different file and place it like in our YouTube, you know, file what we have, or video player file, so people could still watch that movie and we could edit it certain way that wouldn't be flash anymore, it'd just be a film. And then I think we'll probably just go to static pictures. Still will be flash, and we've had this discussion over and over. You know, some people don't have flash. Well, it's about, I think it's, I forgot the exact figure, but it's like, you know, maybe 85% to 90% of the people have flash. So do we not have flash and have a really exciting opening on our homepage and sacrifice those 85% of the people who have it for the 15 who don't? And that's really what it comes down to. So I think we'll still have an element of flash, but the flash could certainly, with just, you know, fading of different pictures, would be a lot faster. I think we're going to go to that because I'm a little concerned about how the loading time for that is as well. It's a big file. We wanted to kind of have this wow factor on the site, but we don't want to sacrifice the wow factor for people who just opt out. And I noted the bounce rate for our site's a little high, and that could be a problem too because people aren't very patient. You know, if they have to wait for that whole thing to load up, then you know, they just drop out.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned about that too, and I'm going to bring that up today at the BID because I'd like to maybe change that out.
Yeah, I mean, even if it were reduced by 50%, that would increase the loading or decrease the loading time significantly.
Well, we tightened it up. I mean, I really think that, you know, due to the nature of that, the way it's set up, I think that we probably need to go more with the traditional, you know, dissolves of different static pictures. I think we could still make it really effective.
Yeah, be done with JavaScript, and that tends to be much less overhead on the loading time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll definitely take a look at that. As far as the calendar goes, I know that I think we've been working with Peter's group on getting the new dates, the dates for the following year. I know that that's something we've talked about, and I'll check with my team and find out, you know, where we're at with all of that. And, you know, I encourage anybody that, you know, has dates or anything that they know about, you know, to always email that to us because whenever, you know, the times and, you know, when it is and where it is. I mean, who, what, when, where is probably a good, good base right there. Ideally, and we're set up, you know, software-wise to do this, on every site we can have a landing page, you know, so for every event. So if we have that information, you know, we could have a separate landing page for every event. That's really where we'd like to go with that, especially the major events.
Yeah, that would be a good incentive, actually, I would think, for any organizations that want to post their event is to say, look, if you provide us this criteria and get it to us early, you know, we'll give you a landing page, you know, which, I mean, that could be a huge incentive.
And I will look at the contest. I admit that has been rather loose. It's been one of those things that we started, and we're going to actually have on the BID calendar today to talk about really trying to work ahead and get prizes, so we know exactly when the prize, you know, what prizes we have and when we can award them, because we also have the photo gallery too, and you know that photo gallery started out really small, and now we get probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 submissions a week or more. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get 3 or 4 a day for each week, so that's become something that, you know, people are interested in and they want to win, and they ask us when the prize is going to be given, and so look, we can tighten that up too.
All right.
Is that it for that report?
That's pretty much everything.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you, Daniel. Did the Creative Review Subcommittee have a report? Or do they have a report?
We didn't meet.
Okay, they didn't meet. Thank you. Any unfinished business? It doesn't seem like there's any on our
I'd like to bring up the bylaws. Where do our new bylaws stand? The city made some changes.
They approved them.
And what's going on?
The city actually, there were some changes that were suggested when the bylaws were provided to the city council, and the city attorney was concerned because a couple of those changes were exactly what the Community Promotions Committee wanted to include. So Rob Schultz, unfortunately, is out of the office. He's down south doing some work, some legal work. I think he plans on having one more subcommittee meeting, or no, one more special meeting with this board to flesh out those details and then take those back.
So they have not been approved?
No, I don't believe they've been approved.
I thought at the council. Well, I watched that meeting. It was very fast at the end, and I thought they approved them with changes, and they did it, blah, 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 and it went really fast, and I didn't understand whether they approved them.
I don't think so. I'm a little fuzzy after last night's budget meeting to remember what happened, but I don't think they approved them, but I'll go back. Either way, I know he wanted to bring them back to this board because he was concerned about the change that was proposed. So I don't think they did.
Okay. We'll put that for next month if we don't hear from Andrea. Okay, thank you. Any other unfinished business? Okay, a new business we want to – budget time is very close, as we know, and we do not have a budget committee yet. And the budget committee for this committee decides, along with John, our media plan for next year, where the money will be spent, whatever we're fortunate enough in receiving from the city, and how it will be spent and the schedule on which it will be spent. And John does most of the planning as far as the media is concerned, but we do need to give him input on where the money is spent and in what areas. So I'd like to open the discussion for want to be on it.
I think it is a good idea to have somebody on there who's done
okay,
it before.
You want to drop off,
yeah, I'll drop off. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, the budget subcommittee then will be myself, Dan, and Susan Stewart. And John will have to get together with you for a meeting within the next few weeks.
Right.
So we want to have this budget and the media plan done for the next meeting, for our next meeting in June.
Right, and the it's a good challenge, but it's a challenge. We've also got to work simultaneous with the, with the BID because we want to make sure that we complement each other's budgets. So I know they're in the process. In fact, next week I'm going to be getting together with the budget subcommittee for the BID. So we'll be able to kind of get where their direction is as well, so we can sort of complement each other's budgets.
Do you
want
to email the members of the committee if you can, when you can?
Probably be good for me to meet at least initially with the BID so that I could bring that information to our budget subcommittee so we can kind of plan that. And I had a question for Andrea. I know that there was the I don't know what happened last night, but I know that there was the budget, the staff's recommendation was on the website. I looked at that. Is that a safe thing to work off of? Or?
Thank you. I was going to talk a little bit about the budget hearing. We had our budget hearing last night. We proposed presented a proposed budget as the this board knows we needed to make some significant cuts this year. We ended up laying off 4.25 employees. They weren't positions that were unfilled. They were positions that were filled. So we had some pretty significant layoffs. Our direction going into the budget process was really across the board cuts of approximately, it was really approximately 5%. In our proposed budget, we presented both the Community Promotions Committee and the Visitor Center at a 5% reduction, which relates to approximately $5,000 for the Community Promotions and approximately $8,000 for the Visitor Center. That was discussed last night in depth. We may be having a second budget meeting, but overall the council, I think it's probably fair to say they generally accepted those recommendations. We certainly understand the importance of marketing. At this point, we really needed to make those cuts. The one issue that, so I'll follow up on that, we may have a second budget meeting on June 2nd, but it doesn't appear, we may or may not, because we feel like we've got through most of the budget issues. If not, the budget is slated for adoption on June 14th. There was some pretty lengthy discussion about the visitor center and just location and how it's operated. not the quality of the operation, but is there a different way they want to look at that? And I need to refer back to my notes to see exactly what the council wants us to bring back on that. What I heard, and I'll look over at Peter to see what he heard, what I heard was the council, it appears that the council is probably going to move, continue to have the visitor center operated as it is, and approve the budget as presented, but look at, throughout the upcoming year, look at changes that might be made. And that's kind of what I took away. And as well, the council reduced the, we had the website broken out, website maintenance of about $18,000, and that was brought back to nine. And prior to making that recommendation, talked to bonds that we've had so far from all the increased advertising, that the council will certainly look at the possibility of refunding those amounts that were taken or proposed to be taken from the visitor center and the community promotions. I think it's really important to let this board know, and as well as the visitor center, that the reductions weren't taken lightly. They weren't done easily. It's been a fairly traumatic process from the beginning of this, including the employee layoffs. But we're, you know, cautiously optimistic that our TOT numbers are going to be looking a little more favorable. So that's kind of our report. I'll turn it over to Peter.
Yeah, just to add a couple of things that we really all should be aware of is right now we have a very well-oiled machine, if you will, between the agencies, BID, the promotions, certainly with the John Sorgenfreund's group, TJ Advertising, the Visitor Center, and the Chamber. It's working very, very well. It's really, to me, imperative that we keep everything the way it is. We don't really know how effective it's going to be. If you make a change, then obviously the end result's going to change. So for me, I think it's vitally important that we make sure that the council understands that if you change the equation, you're going to change the answer and the result. So we really need to be able to, number one, I think the BID should stay at 3%. These are just things that have come up last night as possibilities. And let them finish with the promotions budget maintained at what it is. There was talk about possibly moving the visitor center to Harbor and Napa. It would be the same analogy as if you had a successful business on the Embarcadero and said we can get cheaper rent on Harbor, and then making that move, how successful do you think that business would be? It's the same situation. We've already experienced what Main Street offered us, you know, before we made the move down to Embarcadero. It was maybe between 8,000 and 9,000 people coming through the doors. At the moment we were on the Embarcadero in that one location, it went up to 20,000 to 30,000 people. Very significant. It's all about the word, getting the word out, making sure that the travelers have the best experience possible and that they know exactly what's going on. We have more opportunity to touch more people because they're just going to walk in. They're not going to find us on Harbor. It just isn't going to happen. The other thing that came out of it that we have to look at how soon they're thinking to propose this is changing the format of how they structure the promotions, BID, visitor center. They're trying to adopt something like Pismo, but as you know, Pismo Beach is. Pismo is. I looked at it very in depth. It's not one person doing it. It's the same format that we use. It's basically there's one agency working with three other agencies that, you know, get together with a game plan or a goal. It's the same concept.
With a much larger budget.
Well, and here's an interesting fact. You have to look at the whole picture and see what happens. What we don't want to do is we don't want to have this 6 month of intense and money spent on advertising and all of these things getting to a point where we're actually going to find out if it all works and then all of a sudden change it. To me, we're going to lose the momentum. Very important point. I hope that we all, maybe speak about how we feel about that.
Chair Krovitz, I did have one other thing to add, and I'm looking through my notes from last night. The council is going to talk to our city attorney about the possibility of leaving the T-bid at 3% and then using a portion of that, approximately $160,000 to $180,000, to fund the visitor center. That discussion is going to come back. Certainly, if that's changed, it includes a change to the ordinance, as well as a change, I believe, a vote from the hoteliers.
Well, you know, that does make a lot of sense, Andrea, because lots of the work, that the additional work that's generated at the visitor center comes from the BID. We as the promotions committee generate a certain amount of that in our advertising. But with the increase in advertising that the BID's been doing, that means more phone calls, more fulfillment, more people looking at our webpage. So their activities are generating more work at the visitor center, which is something they may want to fund or should fund part of, not the whole thing, of course, but the increment that they are creating should be funded by them.
That's one thing they did. The other thing that we did receive yesterday was a request from the VCB on funding, and it was interesting timing in that our budget hearing was last night as well. That request from the VCB for their funding this year is $24,000 with an option to fund an additional $13,000, which would take care of the membership of all the, I believe, the businesses or hoteliers in Morro Bay to join the VCB. And we will be processing that or forwarding that request to the TBID. The city last night didn't indicate that they were willing to fund the VCB. Mm-hmm. Last year, the city funded $10,000 and the TBID funded $22,000. This year, the request is $24,000. Last year, it was $32,000. So that will be forwarded to the TBID as well, not today, but we'll certainly provide that information to them to look at.
That's for next year's budget.
It's for next year's budget. Mm-hmm. You're correct.
If I could just add, I think regarding the budget and our budget subcommittee, I think that it's going to be real important for everyone that's on that, and actually collectively the entire board, because the budget will ultimately be passed and voted by the entire board. Subcommittee basically gets it down to a format where that can be done. But as the years have gone on, we've had to be able to think, you know, outside the box. And I think we have to get, while we still want to do some traditional advertising, I think we might want to look at more PR, how we're going to incorporate that 9,000 database that we have, you know, things that we can do that's going to continue to do outreach, but that's not going to cost real hard dollars in media. You know, we could run a full page in Sunset, and it could be, you know, $25,000, and obviously the budget's going to go pretty fast. So I think that's one challenge. And then as Peter had said, you know, one thought that might be interesting is that you know, you have a VCB there. The Morro Bay does not have a VCB. And you have a paid director, and you have two paid staff members. And then in addition to that, you also have a chamber and a visitor center that's pretty similar to how it functions here, but they're funded by the city. And then you have, you know, and it's interesting, in Pismo you have one group that handles both the BID and the city, which is basically the CBB Promotions Board. So that's different in that sense. They have about, you know, just in media, they have about a $700,000 budget, and that was just approved yesterday. And that's not counting the salaries and employees. I'm talking just media. So there is a big difference, and I think it would be good, you know, and that would be good to invite the public. And we've talked about this before, and I'm sure I can't speak for those people, but I know that Susan would come because I've talked to her about that. And I believe Susan talked with Councilwoman Winholtz the other day. But it might be good to have everybody, you know, kind of collectively in the room and, you know, and then talk about it, because I would hate to see anything done without knowing exactly how these other cities function, because in many ways it's similar and in other ways it's very different, but it's certainly more expensive.
Well, that's a great discussion for new ideas in our agenda here today. That's a great idea, and maybe in the next like you say, when the next council gets seated, it would be something we could do at the first part of next year, or just before the tourist season starts.
Right.
John?
I'd like to make a comment about Peter talking about the visitor center moving from Main Street to to the Embarcadero. The visitor center actually started at the corner of Napa and Harbor in 1992 or 1993, and a good day was maybe 10 people. On Saturday, and I happen to be the Saturday person, if you got three people, it was a good Saturday, and maybe five phone calls. So, you know, it's going back to what it was, 92, 93.
Well, I know in Pismo, one of the things you talk about location, location, location. They ended up putting a kiosk, which is basically it's manned by a human, but it's a small. It's actually a former, like a power shed or something that they had on the pier that wasn't being utilized. So they painted it and put a white flat screen TV that shows our video, and that has now become this little kiosk just because it's at the start of the pier. Mm-hmm. Has become more visitors go there than they do to the actual visitor site. And our site's not buried, you know, somewhere else. I mean, it's on the corner of, I think it's the corner of Stimson. But anyway, I mean, it's more in town, though. It's much harder to find than, obviously, somebody that's just going right on the pier. And, you know, people that go to the pier kiosk, I mean, they're asking about where to eat, where to stay. You know, they've got brochures there. And, you know, so I think that the location is important, and I think that people can find the current visitor center pretty easily, and we want them to find you.
The first place people go, tourists come, when they come to Morro Bay, is they head to the water. They head right to
Number one. And number two, do you think the businesses there would want 20,000 to 30,000 people less coming through there? That's why we're there, because it's visitor serving, and it makes a big difference when we have that kind of flow coming through.
Absolutely.
But the other thing is that, you know, we also operate a kiosk, and it's at the mobile station as you first come in. And we go and we maintain that at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, and we actually do it more often during the summer months. But that is, you know, that's also used, and we fill it up at least once a week, like I said, but in the summer, three times a week.
I think the difference when it was, as I recall, when it was on Main as opposed to being on the Embarcadero, it seemed like when it was on Main Street, it was more of a chamber office. So local people came in, people who live here, and they'd ask about different things, which is good, but it wasn't really serving the visitors. And then when it moved to the Embarcadero, it became much more of a visitor-serving site, as well as a chamber site. But and I know you weren't here then, but I remember when Kim Kimball was the director. I mean, it just seemed like it was more... Bill, you were working there then, right? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. People would, you know, came in looking for the Chamber of Commerce office, because so many people can compare a Chamber of Commerce with the visitor center, particularly people from the Valley, and so they would have to hunt for it. You just couldn't walk by and find it. You had to hunt for it.
I hate to stymie this discussion, but. But we're straying pretty far at this point,
on,
so I'm going to bring you back.
We're in discussions of new ideas right now, so we're discussing new ideas.
I had a question back to the original discussion with the budget subcommittee. When John meets next week with the TBID, would it be possible for our subcommittee to also be part of that meeting, so that we're, instead of everybody working independently and maybe, you know, ending up doing too much overlap, that we can all kind of work together to make this all gel better? I don't know if that's possible.
I think it would be premature. I think it may be at some point after they kind of, I need direction from them, I need direction from you, and then I think we meet somewhere in between. Maybe when we do that meeting of somewhere in between, that might be more appropriate.
My opinion is also that the focus of the BID is just slightly different than ours. They also have a sizable amount of money more than we have. And they should get their money spent the way they want it spent. We should get ours spent the way we want it spent, but knowing what they're going to spend it on, and they know what we're going to spend it on. That way, there's where the coordination comes in, that we don't duplicate things, that we don't spend money in areas where they're going to spend it, and vice versa.
Yeah, I was just thinking that maybe it might be able to coordinate better if we were all working together on it. But
I think we will
work
together.
Yeah. No, I don't think you're mistaken. I think it may just be not this first meeting, but you know, that might be something once we kind of iron out what their goals and objectives are, what the goals and objectives are here, then maybe there's a future meeting where that all sort of comes together and we'll work it out. But I think the initial meeting may just be getting just direction on where we want to go. I mean, that's really what that first meeting's about, and kind of just throwing out ideas. And then I come back with those, taking those ideas into consideration with more of a formalized budget for
the group. But it's more than the budget also. There's also a media plan, which John draws up, and the media plans don't want to overlap. They'll be spending money in publications where we might not be spending money. So there's a media plan that goes along.
Not necessarily another subcommittee, but an approach to encouraging local events, how the promotions committee can somehow create more opportunity for new local events here in Morro Bay. So it's not something that that I think has been done in the past, or maybe it has, and just because it's new to me, I'm not familiar with it. But I would like to consider the, you know, having that discussion.
I don't know whether our charter is to create new events. Is that something that we do? I don't believe that's something that the promotions committee creates new events.
No. How to help promote? So if,
help promote
so
the events that are already.
If somebody comes in, for instance, and wants to create a new event, let's say a triathlon or something else, that would help attract new or attract folks here to Morro Bay. Just looking at how it is that the Morro Bay Promotions Committee can support that, like what we might be able to do as a committee, not to fund it necessarily, but how it is that we can support those folks in a more proactive way to help them get connected to the resources that they need to get the event organized and established and pull it off.
Do you want to bring back some ideas?
If
we get a consensus of the committee that they want to talk about that.
I think the BID is looking at that right now, because basically they're trying to come up with a criteria, because a lot of people are coming.
That's for their funding.
You know, for funding. Mm-hmm. And, one of the first and foremost criteria for them anyway, because of their charges, overnight stays and supporting lodging, who's paying for it, is does this event create, you know, overnight stays?
We don't have that particular
From my experience on events, and I'm sure Peter will attest to this, is that the ideas are easy. It's the who's going to do the event.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to work with the city on if it's a triathlon and you know, block out the streets, and or if that's necessary, who's going to take tickets, who's going to sell tickets, who's going to so really how an event starts is basically it may start with an idea, which is certainly there's nothing wrong with coming up with ideas. The photo festival started that way, with an idea from Phil May, who works with me and is also a citizen of Morro Bay. And that idea, then the promotions committee did help to promote it to some extent, but it was really about getting Peter's group involved, because we needed somebody that's going to be able to, you know, sell the tickets and pick the venue, reserve the venue with the city, and, you know, do all of those things. And then eventually, ideally, a group takes it over, which is what happened with the photo festival, you know. Then it gets on its way. And so, like, the Bird Festival is that way, where it started with an idea, but somebody has to embrace that idea and be willing to do all the work to make it happen. And that's the hard part.
Yeah. Well, I guess since we're talking about a triathlon, there is one happening here in Morro Bay, is there not? Two. And when are they?
I think, Andrea? There's a couple coming up in June. The first two weeks of June. One for sure, maybe two.
June 6th.
Okay. Yeah. And it's through, I think EcoSlow is helping out with that triathlon, and the coordinator is a gentleman named Yishai.
No one has come to the promotion
festival or the music festival or anything that's held on public property. Probably what needs, so that group meets, they put conditions of approval on, and the coordinator continues on down his path. And I know Peter and I have tried, and I think Joe and Peter are working to make sure that information from events that come to the city, that information gets pushed on to the chamber, so that Peter can get that information on his website and as special events coming up. And then you have kind of another set of events like the Morro Bay 4th that actually come forward and request funding. So I think I think we can always do better on the coordination of those things, but I think it's it's that extra step we need to take. And I don't know if that helps you or not, Daniel.
I think the biggest thing from my standpoint is it's all about getting information.
Yeah.
And that's really, you know, and I've said this before, the PR subcommittee, what I really hope the PR subcommittee would do is get me all the stuff that's happening in the town. You know, I can write the press releases. I don't need help doing that. But I need the information. So that's probably the biggest challenge, because if there's an event that somebody knows about, if they want to track it down and get to talk, call the promoter up and go, hey, you know, we can really help you out. You know, give us your information. Then I guarantee you I will get it on the website. We'll put it in the newsletter. But it's all about getting that content. And some people, sometimes they are so, and I don't blame them. I mean, they're so intent on getting this event done because of all the things I just said, all the things that have to be done. They forget about the fact they got to advertise the event and promote it. And that is where we can do that. And we can do it pretty cost effectively, because when we have ads running, we always try to put an event in that ad again as a call to action. So it's really about getting the promoters to give us that information, and as you said, Daniel, getting us the most information so we can even do a landing page for them.
And that's part of why I brought this up to begin with, is that I didn't find out about the triathlon happening until probably a month ago, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. I haven't heard much talk about it. So kind of fostered this idea of what we could do as a committee to, you know, to help support or foster the growth and the promotion of those events. You know,
it sounds like one thing we could do is work with the city offices to find out who's pulling what permits for what events. I mean, this is an obvious Discover Your Better Nature kind of event. It's got.
Well, if we want to discuss this. If there's enough people on the committee that want to discuss this, we can take this up next week under discussing. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Then can you put that on next week, Andrea? Next month, rather, discussion of how the promotions committee can help.
And I might make a suggestion too. Even though we have budget report on the agenda, you might want to have the budget subcommittee come back to the board and.
Well, that'll
talk.
Be just for next month. Yes, we'll have that on.
Because we should probably have a budget presented by then.
Could you put budget 2010-2011 promotions committee budget committee report?
Because if that wasn't on the agenda, then you wouldn't be able to take action on it. So it would actually be to take action budget.
Budget subcommittee report?
Yes, for our budget for the next fiscal year.
Would they be able to vote on the budget then if that was under that?
Report and approval. Just put report and approval.
What we'll do.
I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second?
I'll second.
We are adjourned. Have a good day, folks.